Awesome time of worship together this morning. Pastor Brian is out. He had eye surgery, and Brother Ed filled in for him, and Emma picked up the acoustic guitar part, and Don is out today, so there's change up. Listen, God has blessed us with tremendous talent to come in and fill those empty vacancies that occur from time to time. We're just so blessed. We really are. We're blessed. Today, as we continue our study in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, at the end of chapter 2, which we did not cover, Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he's telling them that he will be sending Timothy real soon to meet with them, and Epaphroditus, he'll be sending him also, that they have been a great help to him. So as we continue to study, we now look at what Paul has to say to the church. And one of the first words he says is finally. Now, when Paul says finally, that really means like that's when a preacher gets to his last point. And for the last point, you know he's got some more to say. Paul has more to say to us today. And he's really telling us that we may know Christ and all the things that we're going on in this life. May we know Christ above all. So we look at this message, Paul hits home to us real hard that Christ be our number one. What is your number one today? Is it your husband? Is it your wife? Is it your children? Is it your grandchildren? What's your number one? Is it your job? It could be something that we may not even know. Your career, is it school? What is your number one? If it's not Christ, it's an idol in your life. Even your family can be an idol. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. That I may know Christ. J.I. Packer said this, is once you become aware that the main business that you were born for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place of their own accord. Once we get the right thing right, everything else seems to kind of just fall into place. So we read Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. He says, finally, but he doesn't really mean finally. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me. And it is a safeguard to you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteous, which is in the law, righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, But that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray together. Father God, today, how powerful your word is to us. Lord, teach us today. We put so much value in our flesh. We put so much value in the accolades and the achievements we have in this world. But God, they mean nothing. They mean nothing in the surpassing glory of knowing you as our Lord. Teach us today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul gives us some great insight and illustration today. The first thing he talks about, really, I would call this, if I could call this a point, it's that repetition increases retention. Repetition increases retention. If you practice a play over and over and over again on football field, before long you're going to know it. And Paul is telling us in verse 1, says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard to you. Paul saying, for me to repeat myself to you over and over and over again, listen, that's no trouble on my part, but it's a safeguard for you. Listen, church, today you may hear the same messages over and over again. You may leave this church and go to another church. You hear the same messages over and over. There's themes in the Bible that God gives us how to live this life for him. Listen, the gospel is true. No matter what we say or what we think, the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. It's solid, and it needs to be repeated to us over and over again. Paul says this. We are to know the truth. Know the truth. Verse 1, the middle part of it says, to write the same things again is no trouble to me. Paul repeats the truth. He repeats theology and he repeats doctrines to the church through his epistles. He constantly reminds them of the gospel of Jesus Christ given to him by God. Why? Because it's God's gospel. Listen, this is God's gospel. This is not Southern Baptist gospel. This is God's gospel. This is not just Christian. This is God's gospel. He's the one who gave us this word, and we are to know it. We are to learn it. We are to study it over and over again. I've been in church 52 years, and some of you have been here longer than I have. We never arrive. We never say, oh, I've got it. Oh, I know that. No. When you start fooling yourself like that, the devil has you exactly where he wants you because you're complacent. No, Paul repeats the gospel over and over again to these believers. Repetition of the truth, the gospel, was necessary for these believers to stay on course, to persevere to the very end, and it's necessary for us today to hear it over and over and over again. Why is repetition so vital for learning and retaining? It's simple, because we forget. Because we forget. I'll say it again, we forget. We forget. We can hear a story, and then sometimes we'll hear somebody else tell a little different way and a little different way, and they'll add this or add that, and sometimes we forget what the solid truth is. We get confused. We forget. We get mixed messages or heresy or even false teaching, and we begin to put things together. Right now, listen. There's a danger in the church of America today of false teaching. There's this prosperity gospel that fills up churches. But listen, it's not based on God's word. It's pulled here and pulled there and pulled. If you've been around me long enough, you understand that I don't like that at all. Because God doesn't like that. That's his gospel. That's his truth. And we are not to mess with it at all. It's his truth. We need to hear it over and over and over again. We need to hear the gospel. We need to hear sound teaching, sound doctrine, sound theology over again so that we don't forget and that we don't get it confused. When we hear it over again and we digest it into our heart, to our mind, listen, we can spot false teaching right away. You can spot it right away. You'll turn the channel. A lot of these preachers that you call very valuable and that America looks at, oh, that's America's pastor. No, it's not. No. I reject that. Let's be honest. How many times have you read a passage of Scripture and you already know what it says? You kind of know the story. You've heard it before. Maybe you've been in church a few years, and you know, Christmas time comes along, you know what the Christmas story is. Easter time comes along, you kind of know what the Easter story is. You kind of know about the resurrection. You kind of know the story about Noah and the ark. You kind of know about you know, you're so familiar that when you come across it in your reading in the Bible, you just kind of tune it out. Just kind of glaze over it. Maybe when this preacher preaches a message, he said, well, you know, that's kind of the same theme. I remember him preaching that, similar message like that a year ago or 2 years ago. And you just kind of zone out. Well, you know, I've been here long enough, Brother Kevin. I heard you say that, you know, like 5 years ago. Just kind of zone. You just glaze over it. And you miss what God has to say for you fresh and anew. You zone out. Oh, how troubling that is. That we miss what God has to say when we're reading. I said, well, you're just kind of reading over the Christmas story. You're reading over the crucifixion. You're reading over, you know, the resurrection. You just kind of glaze over it. And it's like, blah, 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 blah. Close your Bible and you go about your business and you miss. You miss what God is really wanting you. He's trying to speak to you. When we zone out, listen, we neglect God's message from God's man for ourselves. And we wonder why our walk with God is just mediocre. We wonder why, you know, things in life just wear us down. We wonder why we're so troubled. We wonder why, is this all the joy that Christianity has to offer me? No. Paul reminds us that repetition of the truth is vital for our safety. Paul says, it's no trouble for me to tell you the same things over and over and over and over again. Why? Because it's a safeguard for you. It'll keep you out of trouble. It'll help you spot false teaching. It'll help you test the spirits. It will help you in your walk with God to stay out of trouble. And you get it right. And you'll be a reflection, a shining light to the world that's so dark. Listen, church, we're about to kick off our small groups on November the 8th, 2 weeks from today. Our Sunday school classes, small groups. Our Wednesday nights start back on November the 4th. Will you be available to learn, to get in God's Word? Brother Kirk will be teaching a class right outside the door there in the little classroom. Its next step is for people who are interested in joining the church. We want to be a member here, and we want to understand more. Even though you've been in church for years, but we want to be a member here. Well, I want you to go to that class so you'll have a solid foundation. You're a new believer. You just gave your life to Christ. I want you in that class. Why? Because you need a solid foundation. We need constant biblical teaching to help us retain the message and pattern our lives according to Scripture. Why? The second thing is to guard against heresy or false doctrine. Verse 2 tells us, beware of the dogs. So this church, the church of Philippi, were dealing with some heresy. Paul was addressing it, and he calls them out by name. He calls them dogs. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. So Paul uses three descriptions here to warn the church of Philippi about false teachers. So remember, the church was composed mostly of Gentile believers, people like us. We're not Jewish. We didn't grow up with the Jewish law, the old covenant law, the Old Testament. No. We didn't grow up with that. So these Gentiles were beginning to get infiltrated by people who were from the Jewish background. These Gentiles, like we, are free in Christ. When we accept Christ Jesus as our Savior, we are free in Him. We're free from our sin. We're free from the penalty of our sin. It's by faith in Christ alone that we are saved. But now, there was a group that Paul was addressing in Philippi called the Judaizers. The Judaizers were people who were coming out of Judaism with all of its laws and Old Testament beliefs, and they were following Christ. But for them, they needed Jesus plus the law. They didn't trust Jesus and faith alone. They trusted Jesus and what they could do through the law. So they wanted to adhere to all the old Jewish laws, all the old Jewish customs, traditions and ceremonies, plus Jesus. And Paul says, that's not right. Because salvation is in faith in Christ alone. God's grace on you saved you. You cannot save yourselves, and you cannot do anything to save yourselves. All your good works, all your ceremonies, all your rites and rituals, all those things mount up to zero for your salvation. But they thought they had to do it all. And they were infiltrating this Gentile church to say, listen, you need to be circumcised. You need to start following the law. You need to start following the Jewish traditions. And Paul, being in prison here, writing to them, says, listen, first thing he calls them, he says, beware of those dogs. Now listen, back then, it wasn't fur babies. It wasn't your fur children. It wasn't, a family member. When Paul said you were a dog, that means you were filthy, no good, mangy, returning to your vomit, dog, trash, running wild. Paul references them as dogs because a dog will always return to its vomit. Listen to what 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 says. It has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns wallowing in the mire, in the mud. You can wash a pig off all you want. Turn your back, that pig is headed to the mud hole. And Paul is saying these people, these Judaizers, are like dogs. Why? Because they came to know Christ, but then they left Christ and they went right back to where they were. Like a dog returning to his vomit. Paul also said they're evil workers. This means that these same persons who were they were deceitful workers. They mishandled the word of God and subverted the gospel of Christ. They mishandled God's word, and there are a lot of preachers today who are mishandling God's word. Oh, there's a lot of teachers who are mishandling God's word. We also see Paul calls them, beware of the false circumcision. Paul reminds the Gentiles that they are not to follow this Jewish teaching be mandated to be circumcised under the old covenant. That was a sign of the old covenant from the Old Testament. That's what God had given to Moses and to the people. In the old covenant, as a symbol of them being committed to him. Well, the Judaizers wanted all these Gentiles to go get clipped as a sign of them being in covenant with God. And Paul says, no, beware of that. That's false teaching. That's old covenant stuff. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled the law. You do not need to go through all those rites, rituals, and ceremonies anymore. You're in Christ Jesus. He set you free. You're free from the law because Jesus fulfilled it. You are under a new covenant with God through Jesus Christ. The new covenant. Oh, today, we're under the new covenant with Jesus Christ. We're in this covenant with God through Christ our Savior. Listen, it is an unbreakable covenant. We do not have to work for that. God's grace is free to us for all who will receive it by faith and repentance. He shows mercy upon us. Oh, today, do you know Jesus as Savior? Are you in this new covenant with him? Or are you still trying to work your way to heaven? Or are you still trying to be good enough to get there? Maybe you're not called a Judaizer, but boy, you're still trying to do all these good works. You're still trying to add merit to yourself so that God will show favor on you that you can be saved. Stop the madness. See, we do good works because Christ has already saved us. Not that we can be good enough so that he'll find favor on us. Verse 3 says, we are the true circumcision in Christ. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and the glory of Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Paul is saying that we are the recipients of the new covenant in Jesus Christ. We do not need to rely on the cutting away of the flesh to demonstrate reverence to God and reverence to God. The Jews were putting their faith in themselves to obey all these laws, 613 of them. Every one of them. They were putting their faith in themselves. And there are a lot of people who are sitting in churches today who are putting the faith that they should be putting in Jesus Christ. They're really just putting it in themselves. Trying to save themselves. And Jesus says, that's not so. He died on a cross so that because we could not save ourselves. Paul says, put no confidence in the flesh. We are the true circumcision. We are in the new covenant with Christ Jesus. Quit trying to earn your way for something that you can never earn your way. We are the true Israel. We put no confidence in our own abilities. We put no confidence in our own accolades. We put no confidence in working our way there. We put no confidence in the righteousness that we think we have. Rather, we trust God's grace through Christ alone. It's pretty humbling. Let me tell you, it's pretty humbling when you realize that you could work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could give all your money away. You could walk around in sackcloth and ashes, basically, trying to earn your way to heaven, thinking that you flushed everything out of this, and you'll never do it. You'll never make it. That we really are desperately dependent on Jesus Christ, our Savior. Desperately dependent. We are nothing without him. And his grace is free. Salvation is free. Do you know Jesus today? The second thing we see today. Count as loss all the gains of the flesh. Paul, he counted loss all the gains he had in the flesh. We see verse 4 through verse 7 says, although, so he's using these Judaizers who are working so hard, you know, they're saying Jesus plus me working all this stuff to get to heaven. Paul's saying, listen, they're taking a lot of pride in who they are. They're taking a lot of pride in working so hard to be perfect people, to follow all those laws. But Paul comes back and says, although I myself might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, he says, those guys think they're something. Let me tell you who I was. He said, if they have confidence, I have a whole lot more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, I have found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul uses his own Jewish biography, his own attributes, to let his readers know how foolish is the thinking of the Judaizers who are putting so much confidence in themselves to earn their way to heaven. They look at their accomplishments, they look at their sacrifices, and adhere to the law and all the ceremonies. Man, they were working so hard to get it all just right. And they're being very confident in what they're doing as to get themselves to heaven. Jesus plus all this, and I should get there. Paul said, man, you think you were somebody? Let me tell you who I was. Let me tell you where I've been. Paul says, talk about ritual. Man, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I wasn't a Johnny come lately to the Jewish faith. My mama and my daddy raised me, and on eighth day, I was circumcised to be a Jew. Verse 5, he says that. In verse 5, he also says about race. He says, man, I was of the nation of Israel. I was of that nation. Eighth day circumcised of the nation of Israel. I wasn't a foreigner who came to Judaism. I was raised. I am a Jew. Nationally and theologically. About rank, man, not only was I a Jew, I was from the tribe of Benjamin, the honored tribe among the Jews. What about tradition? I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In other words, if there were a picture of a good Hebrew, it was me. See, he was desperately keeping the laws. For his morality, man, as to the law, I was a Pharisee. Paul saying, not only did I keep the laws, but I wrote the laws. And sincere about it, in verse 6 he says, as to zeal, man, I persecuted the church. Hey, I was excited about what I was doing. I served God as best I knew how. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a tribe of Benjamin. If anyone could take pride and confidence in the flesh, it would have been me. Man, Paul not only practiced his Jewish faith with consistency, he was passionate and sincere about what he believed. Our culture says, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere about it. Just follow your heart. No! It doesn't. You don't have to be a Christian. Just whatever religion you want to follow, man, just do it consistently. We'll all get to the same place. That's the popular belief today in America. And there are a lot of people who are on camera in movies and have their own programs who believe that. Well, we're all going to the same place. No, we're not. You see, you can believe something very sincerely and still be wrong. You can sincerely believe the wrong things. Last couple of seconds of a basketball game, and it's a jump ball, and a tip-off comes to you, and you dribble down the wrong side and score a basket for the other team. They just won. But you sincerely thought you were going the right way. And you sincerely jam the ball into the net. But you went the wrong way. You see, there are a lot of people who sincerely believe what they're doing is right and is pleasing to God. And it wasn't. Paul was one of those people. Paul sincerely believed that everything he was doing, he had a right standing with God. He believed, as to righteousness, I'm blameless. He was killing Christians. He was murdering Christians, and he still believed he was doing the right thing. And there are a lot of people sitting in churches today who are following the wrong thing, but they're so convinced that they're going the right way. There are people who pull scripture here and there and they build their own little theological thing, and it's so mixed up and so unbiblical. It's not in the context that God meant it, and it's like, oh, but they believe that they're doing the right thing and they practice it. Paul was zealous. He was so sincere about the wrong things, killed Christians. Christians were just brutally mistreated because of their faith under Paul's supervision. Paul actually considered himself doing God's will. Verse 6 says, as to righteousness which is in the law, I'm found blameless. Paul was perfect at keeping all the rules. And there are some Christians who are all about the rules. Legalism. They're all about the rules. Don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and wear a certain type of clothes and wear your hair a certain way, this way, this way, this way, this way, and you got to be baptized at this time and this time. Listen, we can legalize ourselves to death. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't do that. You're free from your sin in Christ. God is pleased with you and with me because of Jesus, not because of our behavior. Not because we act a certain way. Not because we're trying to look and act righteous. We are righteous because of Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul then explains this truth in verse 7. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul says that Jesus is worth, listen, all those things I prided myself on, all those things that I prided myself in the flesh, all the accolades and all the accomplishments, being the best that I could be, and having the accolades of all the people. When Paul walked into the room, everybody admired Paul. And Paul says, I count all of that as loss compared to having Christ. All of it. That was nothing. That was nothing. Everything I could do in this flesh was nothing as compared to knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of of Christ. Paul says the greatest gift is Jesus. And yet Paul goes a little bit further in explaining it. The third thing we see, and then I'll be closing, finally. Jesus Christ above all else. See, verse 8 through 11, Paul gives us some insight a little bit further. He says, not only was all that lost, he said, listen, I lost all of that for Christ. Christ is so much more valuable. He says, indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. You know what the real word there is? Dung. It's what the chickens do in the backyard. He says, I count them as rubbish or dung in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Listen. Paul moves and just he goes further and just saying, listen, all that's lost. Now he said, you know what that is? He said, that was garbage. That was nothing. That was all that stuff in my flesh, all the things I worked so hard for and prided myself on, all the confidence I had in myself. Listen, now it's nothing. It's lower than the lowest low. It's rubbish as compared to knowing Christ. Can we say that today? That all of our good intentions, all of our good works, all the goodness that we think we have in this flesh is really nothing compared to just knowing Christ. Can we really just throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus and say, thank you, Lord, for even saving my wicked soul? He didn't have to. See, we have nothing to be prideful of. We have nothing to take confidence in this old boy, this flesh. Nothing. It doesn't matter how good we think we are, how much we want to work and work and work and work to earn merit to get to heaven. That's all rubbish compared to just knowing Christ as our Savior. Do you know him today? Do you know this Jesus who loves you beyond measure? And Christian, I'm calling out to you, is it your desire to know him above all else? Or are you willing to listen to the same sermons? Are you willing to read the same stories? Are you willing to go to small group and learn about Christ? Even though you've heard it since you were a kid. Are you willing to be taught by God as a reminder so that we don't forget and don't stray? You see, it's all Christ. It's Christ and God's grace in us through him. Paul lost himself to gain Christ Jesus. Church, if you lost yourself to gain Christ Jesus, have you lost yourself to gain Christ Jesus? Can you say, all the things I've done is really rubbish? All the goodness that I thought I had in myself. Jesus says, there's no one good, no, not one. He wouldn't even claim to be good. Have you lost you with all your confidence in your flesh, all the confidence in the goodness that you think you have? Have you lost that for the surpassing glory of knowing Jesus Christ the Savior? Verse 9 says, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So we count everything in our old life and our self-perceived importance as rubbish, that we may be found in Christ. We must desperately depend on all of Christ Jesus. In him we are justified. We had no righteousness of our own. God imputed Jesus' righteousness into us. Imputed simply means that we apply something else from somewhere else and it's given to us. Jesus' righteousness is imputed to us, because we have none. Verse 10, that I may know him. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed in his death. Do you have a desire for Christ? Do you long to be with him? Do you long and want to know more about him? Pursue him with this fervent desire to know more of Jesus. Every day, to know more of Jesus. May we be submersed in the power of his Holy Spirit and be mesmerized by the power of his word. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead now abides in us to fulfill the providential will of God. That's who you are in Christ. Listen, hardships will come. Paul says in verse 11, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Listen, in verse 10, he says, in fellowship with his sufferings. Christians think we ought not suffer. You can turn on the TV and listen to some preachers, and they'll tell you you shouldn't be suffering at all as a Christian. He hasn't been to Louisiana lately. You're going to suffer. Jesus suffered. Disciples, apostles suffered. We will too. But we don't quit. We don't quit. Because Christ always has something in our suffering for us. Always. And he has a great reward waiting on the other side for us. You see? Because when we suffer, we grow. Paul says, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Listen, through all this suffering, through everything that's going on in life and all the things that seems to be pulling at us, listen, I'm solidly following Christ because I have nothing else. He's everything. And I persevered through this life to the very end. I attained the resurrection of the dead because of Christ living in me. Because of Christ living in you. Christian, you just don't quit. You walk with Christ. Don't quit. You will face suffering. You will face persecution. But you don't quit for the glory of God. See, Paul is telling us, put no confidence in your flesh. Put no confidence in who you think you are. Put it all in Christ. Regardless of what comes in your life, regardless of what sufferings may happen, put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and walk the walk with him. Not that you deserve it, but by grace and faith, he gave it to you. Or today. Will you finally just say, Lord, I've been trying to do this a lot of my own, and it's not working. I trust you today by faith, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Lord, today, you're so good to us. Lord, today, as this altar is open for anyone who wants to visit and pray with you, seeking you, Lord, I ask you that you open opportunity up. That your Spirit move in our midst, move in our hearts. In Christ's name.